following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From the Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking with me in the studio. Charles Aldino sitting next to me.
How you doing, Mark? What's going on, Mark?
That's me doing Hassan.
We have Hassan Montague.
Hi, Mark. Hello. How are you? Station.
And we also have Caitlin Frost-Petit.
Hello.
You got it right this time.
Yeah.
I've been cheating.
It's written on your palm. With the phonetics and everything.
Yeah. So let's see. Last year, I listen to the previous year's show just before I come on.
Why?
And it turned out that last year was a snowstorm. So we were having a crazy snowstorm edition. This is now a happy, fun, regular edition.
No, this
show.
Is a crazy fog that just rolled in.
Fog fest.
It's not a snow fest.
Yeah. Fog could be even worse. All there right, could be so, things in the fog.
So we're at the
like
we've seen movies.
Ships.
Yeah,
seen
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Pirates and their ships.
Pirates, yes. Pirates and an actual pirate ship. On the Long Island
Sometimes
Expressway.
Sometimes they just walk without.
Sometimes they have
and just kill
ships.
People arbitrarily with no warning.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on your online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on the in studio web camera right now in high definition.
Stalker cam.
the
high
WGBB
def stalker cam.
All right, that's what we'll call it.
I bet that thing broke like a long time ago and nobody knows it.
Nobody can actually watch anything.
Nobody sees anything.
Well, it's the midnight show where the lights are all off. And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. And for those of you who don't have a computer or are too lazy to go to your computer, you can use your smartphones and use your app thingamajigs. And you can hear us on places such as, iHeartRadio, MyTunes, I believe it's called.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I've never done it. So
smartphones.
Sounds like a good idea.
Well, smartphones is if you have
sounds like something you should try.
You're smart enough to do it.
Charlie's got a smartphone.
We should probably know these things.
Yeah. Well,
probably.
Probably.
It's been like 10 years. We don't know half the stuff we're supposed to know.
Yeah, we Hassan just memorized the phone number just this week.
Really?
That's not fair. It's actually written right here. No, I didn't.
75% of it is 8.
It was the one that he had a problem with.
That is still too complex. There's more than... Oh.
No, no.
Oh.
Right, so,
down in front. Cell phones have to be off. For the enjoyment of the film for all the proprietors of the establishment.
Okay. So let me take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
As mentioned for the past two shows and the past... And the
who mentioned it, though? Which one of us mentioned
it?
You mentioned it.
Because over here at It Came From Radio, it is Sunburst Month. And because of which, my character Sunburst is
month
teaming
is
up with
over.
RGG Comics. Yeah, I know. Flagship character Phaser and Phaser crossover number 2 due out in stores at the end of this month. And if that not to be outdone by
don't
RGG
let yourself
Comics,
get outdone there, Mark.
Red
don't
Ambles
let that
War of the Independent also features my character in a small role, mixing up with other creators such as Ant, the Max Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby, and Pokey. Issues 1 and 2 of the 6-issue series by writer artist Dave Ryan is out in comic stores right now. And if that isn't enough, Sunburst, you can also check out her in an RZG Comics War of the Independence trading card set, a perfect companion to the War of the Independence series.
Perfect companion.
Yes.
Not just an alright companion, but perfect.
Soulmate.
Yeah.
And speaking of shameless promotion,
Mr. Sid.
Nah.
Our very own Hassan Godwin is playing in a band, aren't you?
Oh, really? Oh,
nice.
Yes, and he's having a performance. Where is this performance, Hassan?
It's at the Clash Bar in New Jersey, Clifton, New Jersey. I actually don't have the address on me, but it's in Clifton, New Jersey on Friday at around 10 o'clock.
So he sounds so excited.
That's how I sound about everything.
It's in Clifton. Come if you want.
Get there now. We're not on right now, but get there right now.
Get your
seats,
right now.
Yes,
right.
Because there's actually There's no seats in there anyway, so it'll all be a lie.
Oh, well, get your own mat down.
Are you going?
Aha.
Uh-huh.
I gotta work.
Yeah, all right. So what'd you even bring it up for? Well, all my feelings are hurt.
It's self-promotion, that's why. No,
I didn't do it, though. It's technically not self-promotion.
It's not self-promotion.
We are the self.
It's a promotional assault. That's what it was.
We are the self.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Fair enough.
So also, speaking of self-promotion.
Mr. Segway, go.
Self-promotion.
Where is it? Oh, here it is. The EM Con Anime Fest is
bullet point.
14th and 15th. It's a day of drawing, cosplay, martial arts, discussion drawings, and animation workshops, game tournaments, artist alleys, anime screenings all day, and at the end of it all, there's a cosplay contest with an anime concert. It's running all weekend at the...
in other words, Geektopia.
Library. which is like the internet, but in 3D.
Uh-huh.
And we will be there. We will be there. Well, at least most of us will be there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Charlie signing a book signing at the convention,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, any book you want to bring, I'll sign.
Yeah, and we're going to be in the library, so that will make it even that much easier.
It can't be a library book because you have to give that back. It has to be your own book.
Well, yes, a book that was purchased by you.
Yeah. That's a good rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so
make sure you're not signing library books.
You can sign the library card.
What's an actual fine?
Ah,
there you go.
There you go. So bring your library. If you don't have a book, bring a library card.
Let's reverse that. Charlie, make sure none of the books you sign are library books. Look for the little slip cover, because they'll try to trick you.
I'm signing right in the back, so I'll know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's this?
We don't need a fine. We will be fined by the government. It will be bad.
Yeah, and
let's send the Men in Black after us.
That would be awesome. 2 cents
would not
have the Men in Black after us.
Yeah,
get hit with a demineralizer.
Well, it's better than LIE traffic. I want to mix it up a little bit.
Right. I don't see the correlation.
Fair enough.
Right. Well, I'm saying everyday, mundane stuff versus everyday. The Men in Black being after me.
Oh,
I'm gonna have the Men in Black coming.
I can actually go for forgetting this entire week.
But
so yeah.
Not only will I be do book signings, but we will be signing autographs, the three of us.
Wow!
Anybody who wants ours?
Sure.
Whoever wants it. We'll see if we'll bring these pictures.
We are going to have pictures.
Sign autographs.
I will have pictures. I promise you. If you don't bring a book, we're signing.
We're giving you a picture. We'll sign something.
Suddenly, Hassan and Caitlin's going to be there, or Caitlin, Hassan, and me.
Yeah. In whatever order.
In random order.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so now on to the non-selfless promotion of the
Boo.
Show.
Boo.
In a statement released by Disney this past Monday, they acknowledged that John Carter of Mars is officially a flop.
Yeah, I saw that.
The executives say, in light of a theatrical performance of John Carter, we expect this film to generate an operation loss of approximately $200 million during our second financial quarter ending March 31st.
My God, let me just state, a drop in the bucket for Disney.
Yeah.
Okay? Seriously, my heart does not bleed for them.
Once they acquired Marvel characters, I pretty much stopped my childhood love for them.
Wow. I never had childhood love for Disney.
Well, then you had no childhood.
Oh, lost it.
I'm living it right now.
Lost it. I don't think the movie deserves that kind of, vitriol. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't a $200 million loss bad. Not like a Green Lantern. Yeah. I'm not saying it was... I didn't go around saying it was better than Ghost Rider, like somebody said, but I mean...
I said it was more entertaining.
No.
Not a better movie.
I still refuse to accept that. But anyway, I don't know about... The thing is, you spend $400, $500 million on promotion and gimmicks and all kinds of weird licensing deals and stuff like that. And then the movie has to do astronomically well to make up for all this other promotional stuff that you spent on it. This is all speculation because I don't know what I'm talking about right now. But it would lead me to believe if you spend $500 million on promotions and no one went to see your movie, you wasted your money. Because the movie was not promoted properly,
so
if word of mouth didn't get out there. I don't know what I blame. I just don't... I think the movie was good, but I don't think the movie had blockbuster material written on it. I mean, it was some half-naked guy on Mars running around throwing rocks at white elephants. White apes. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm sorry. So how is that going to really bring people to flock? They don't even know who John Carter is.
That's the problem, I think. I think maybe they assumed that more people than actually did knew who John Carter was.
I mean, they should have named it Princess of Mars.
Well, I was just going to say, they should have named it that.
Name it after the book.
Because the Asylum already had that name for their movie.
That's crazy. You're going to tell me Disney couldn't have strong-armed them into taking that name back? Stop it. They should have called it Princess of Mars. And that would have been that probably would have been more intriguing than John Carter of Mars.
Yeah.
Which is... You know, people are like, because the first thing someone's going to say is, who the heck is John Carter?
I'm like, and also, when you see the trailers, it's like on TV, you're watching TV, and trailers come up, and you see this guy in this ancient garb, like in this, you know, battle.
Yeah, with a loincloth.
And all of a sudden, John Carter.
like, okay.
One of these things does not belong here. I'm not going to see that.
So someone throw John Carter a pair of Huggies. Someone get that guy a diaper.
Yeah.
he's naked through this entire film.
Yeah, and he's running around killing things, and it's like...
That's okay by me.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was going to happen.
Well, okay, we have to compare how much Elektra made versus how much John Carter made. And if Elektra made more... Then I can justify the statement I just made.
Not really, because obviously
was terrible.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And it was a half-naked chick.
That's true, but we got to look at the other side. There are more, unfortunately, there are more male geeks than there are female.
I know.
So to aim it at that, you got to go for.
You're right.
You're going to lose in the romance department.
But
that's why you get these emaciated, heroin chic looking vampire guys, and girls are just, you know. Girls are trampling each other to get into the theater.
Heroin chic does not sparkle, I can tell you that much.
If you've never really met too many heroin addicts if you don't think they sparkle. I'm just saying from my readings, of course.
I don't think anybody who does that much drugs would sparkle. Maybe they think they sparkle.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole story is a heroin trip anyway. Some semi-attractive woman is being courted by two supernatural beings for absolutely no reason whatsoever. It's a heroin trip from the start to the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Those heroin guys, they'll tell you they sparkle, and that's what they hear in their mind. What you're hearing is, "Arr, arr, arr."
That's what I'm saying. It was a heroin addict's ramblings that were jotted down by Stephanie Meyer and made into a book. And that's what we got. That's how it... What? It was just a speculation.
All right, so speaking of drugs.
Wow.
Drugs.
Just a quick mention. Although quick. We're not
quick?
Gonna be
not quick enough.
Although we're not gonna be discussing the movie per se. I did happen to see 21 Jump Street, and we did mention it that Johnny Depp was gonna have a cameo, and you know the movie's about drugs in school. And I say that movie was one of the best movies I've seen this year. It
really?
It enhanced the original series. It didn't take anything away with it. And it was good in its own structure, as its own movie. Plus, if you were a fan of the original series, you would love it that much more. So, you know, if you guys don't want to see John Carter, go out and see 21 Jump Street.
I don't think everybody's already doing that, according to Disney.
I think that's why John Carter isn't making it.
As far as Disney's concerned, that's exactly what's happening.
What was it, The Lorax? That was what Dreamworks.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a joke, though, Mark. You just ruined that joke.
They're looking at Disney going, ha-ha.
So speaking of people going, ha-ha.
Oh, Mr. Segway.
Hassan's favorite director, Michael Bay, announced that if he has his way, the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reboot, unless John Cusack and Amaya are wrong, which is due out in Christmas of 2013, we'll have the Turtles as an alien race. Michael Bay says, when you see this movie, kids are going to believe one day that these Turtles actually do exist, and when we are done with this movie, what? The Turtles are an alien race, and they're going to be tough, edgy, funny, and completely lovable, unquote.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes?
Caitlin.
Yeah.
Who is your friend, Ilya? Is that the way you pronounce his name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know him in real life.
Let me tell you. Okay, good. But let me tell you something. He is all over this
Yes, because yes, he hates,
and he's all I see when I turn on my email. Ilya, Ilya, straight down.
Really?
Yeah, right. But
it always follows with parentheses, friends.
Wow.
Caitlin Ross Boteed.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
I didn't even know that Michael Bay was making the Teenage Mutant.
Ilya
shares your views on Michael Bay.
No, he doesn't.
Everyone.
Not to your extent, yes.
Trust me.
Why would you end up in jail for your views?
Probably in Gitmo for terrorists.
Oh my God! Wow.
For terrorist tendencies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I'm fine.
Teenage Mutant
Nothing.
Alien Turtles.
Nothing needs to be
why,
said.
Why would
really?
You? It's they're called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
because they're mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who are also ninjas and turtles.
And turtles.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so why would
it.
They need to be aliens?
Because
why?
That makes him hip, edgy, and cool.
Wow.
I'm starting
you know?
To think Michael said. Bay is just like trolling Hollywood. And
well,
it's
he's
like,
got
people let me make anything I want, so mm-mm. I'm gonna.
He's got a newfound life with children's properties. After Transformers, if you actually listen to the commentary of the first movie, he's doing nothing but mocking children's movies. He's like, I can't believe I'm making a children's movie. I couldn't believe it was a children's movie. I thought this was going to be a BS, you know,
and he
whatever.
Says, look at this money.
And exactly. And then he said it. He went and he said, "All right, well, I'll make a children's movie." And he somewhere along the line, he went to the bathroom, and he went back, and some kids were freaking out in the theater, and there was all kinds of this, you know, crazy stuff going on. And he was like, "Well, I'm sure the movie's over, and they're watching trailers of some other movie or whatever." And he went back in, and it was still his movie that was playing. And, I don't know, Optimus Prime was rolling through, and he was like, I can't believe these kids are cheering for a truck, but this is exactly what's happening, and, you know, there's a lot of lucrative money in children's movies, and I'm going to steal your childhood, and I'm going to make them into the worst movies I've ever... Well, he didn't say all that part. Yeah. In my opinion, that's what he said.
Disney and Michael Bay should team up.
Mm.
Really destroy my childhood.
And bring back He-Man.
Why would you need to make them an alien race? It doesn't. That takes away the entire edge.
You don't
of
have
what
to.
The, no, well, yeah.
Why does he believe he has
to? Yeah, I mean, no. What could... Why isn't there one person to go,
No.
But the whole idea is that they are ninja... They're mutant turtles from Earth.
Yeah.
Well,
so there's not going to be any ooze or where does Splinter factor into this?
Really?
Is he going to be an alien?
Because you know what the problem is, the entire premise was a takeoff of Daredevil.
Right.
It was the exact same sequence of events that happened to Daredevil, except that this was supposed to have happened, you know, simultaneously.
Right.
So Daredevil is made, and then you have Ninja Turtles that are made. So they technically exist in the same universe, even though they don't.
Right.
So I don't get why he's. I don't know even why I'm even talking about it. It's ridiculous.
Well,
the whole thing is ridiculous.
Go ahead, Cam.
No. Go ahead.
Do you remember we were talking a couple of shows back, or several shows back,
about
idiot directors when they have a story and they try to put their...
Spin.
Their thing on it, and because they have such big egos that they're idiots, and they try to put their little...
That sounds like what Hassan was saying. It doesn't sound like what we were saying.
No, this is exactly what we're saying. Here's Michael Bay now. He thinks he's the greatest thing since whatever. And now he said, well, I can take any movie and the hell with the origins of it. I'll create my own story. Because I did that with, you know.
Why does it need a reboot? Didn't we just have?
We really did.
Didn't we just have a reboot?
But his ego says he can make this a hit.
Why are they even calling it a reboot? Why is it that new phrase is everywhere? It justifies everything. It's a reboot. You can't reboot something that was fresh 3 years ago.
Yet they are.
No, they're not. That's what they're saying that they're doing. It's not. In order to reboot properly, it has to start a whole new franchise. How many things that have rebooted recently started a whole new franchise?
Batman? The new Spider-Man that's going to be 3.
No, you don't know that.
The G.I. Joe.
You don't know that? G.I. Joe wasn't rebooted. G.I. Joe never was a movie. It was a cartoon and a television show, but it was never a movie. So that doesn't count as a reboot. I'm talking about things that were already movies that were out as you know that had a presence as cinema, and now are just being redone and called reboots.
I would say they were calling the fourth Terminator a reboot. If I remember
correctly. That did really well.
I didn't say it was successful.
Well, that was my question. How many of them have been successful? How many have actually relaunched franchises?
Besides the Batman.
Sure. Yeah. Besides Batman,
I'm gonna say
none. None.
Yeah.
None. Thank you.
I'll go with none.
So it's not justifiable even to call them reboots. It's ridiculous. It's just a play for more cash. That's all it is. It's just we're gonna remake this, and maybe things are gonna be different this time, or we're gonna put a different spin on it, or we're gonna put a different amount of money behind it, and people are gonna come running to see this, even though they didn't come running to see that.
What about the first Hulk? That was the second Hulk was a reboot of the first
that still
Hulk.
Didn't start a franchise.
That's true. It didn't start a franchise,
there hasn't been another Hulk movie since
it
then.
It was just marginally better than
and it
the
was,
first
yeah.
train wreck.
Yeah, it wasn't even that that movie was better. It was that the first one was so bad that yeah, Root Canal is better than that. Yeah,
and ironically, the first Hulk movie made more money than the second Hulk movie, but they considered the first movie a flop because they expected it to make more, and they expected the second movie to make less.
This is what I'm saying. It's all a stupid game.
That's so weird.
Yeah,
a stupid game.
You know what? It's some people actually are intelligent. They said this first Hulk movie was terrible. Why should I run out and see the second one? And that's why the second one didn't because it was already jinxed
so
by
low.
The first.
Yeah.
But they called.
I mean, how much you can you get out of the Hulk in the first place is the thought. I mean, the thought is wrong because you can. But the thought is how much can you get it. But also the Hulk actually the second Hulk concentrated on character as opposed to just phenomenon of special effects
and a gamma-rated poodle.
Yeah.
It'll never stop being funny.
So many things could be said about that.
All I know is it would have made a fortune if they had Stewie walking at the end to the piano music. Pitching. That's all I have to say about that. All
right, so normally at this point in the show, we have sad news, but we actually have happy news this time.
Nobody died?
Well,
no one.
I'm sure somebody.
No one died.
Somebody died.
But,
isn't it your job to find out who died and go find someone who died? If not, then you should kill somebody so we can have the bad news.
That's dark.
Yeah.
We're going to have a happy pre-birthday to William Shatner, which his birthday is tomorrow.
Yay.
He is going to be 81.
What?
Yeah.
And for real?
Yeah.
It's like, happy birthday
Shatner's
to me.
81.
Yeah, Shatner is
Shatner's
81.
Older than Morgan Freeman.
But we have
how is that even possible? How is that possible?
But we have an extra, but his hairpiece is only 16 years old.
Shatner is older than Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, 81.
Wow.
81, yeah.
How is
that
possible?
Good living?
No.
Good living?
He lost his hair 100,000 years ago, so I don't know how good
his
hair
is. His hairpiece is 16 years old.
He was so attractive back in the day.
60s? Yeah. Actually.
most people who were in their 30s and the 60s were more attractive in their
60s. Well, no, but I think he was a very handsome man.
Well, actually, that is quite interesting you would say that, because I was at a convention. I was at a convention. And DeForest Kelly was on. He was the guest speaker, and they were talking about it. And he said that he was with Elizabeth Taylor.
Really?
No, Joan Collins. Joan Collins, right? Joan Collins.
Wow.
Yeah, Joan Collins was there.
Okay.
And she said that she came in, and she saw this elderly gentleman sitting in a chair. Before hair and makeup, and then she did hair and makeup, and when she was done, it turned out that it was William Shatner.
Oh my god.
Wow.
So it was
upsetting.
Hair and makeup.
That's back then. That's messed up.
Really? Even back
that
then?
Was,
that's no.
That's what she said back then.
That's what she said
that,
to DeForest Kelly.
When they
she
did
was like,
Star Trek thing together.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I was sitting with this gentleman. She didn't know where he was, where Shatner was.
What about in the Twilight Zone, though?
Yeah,
I don't know about that, but
I think that was City on the Edge of Forever, right? The episode.
Okay. He was in two different
Terror
ones.
At 10,000 feet.
No, I mean the Joan Collins episode of Star Trek.
Yeah. That's
oh
yeah,
the 10,000.
The geek alarm went off.
The
Twilight Zone episode.
That one was scary.
Yeah, that was messed up. But I thought the sequence in the movie was equally scary. The one with John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Anything where you look out the window and somebody's staring back at you, it's not
or,
cool.
Or that the drapes are closed and you open it and that's...
Yeah, hello.
It's like, hey, how are
That's
you?
Why you'd never open the drapes. Simple.
And,
yeah, that's
you know, and I'm yelling in that movie, John, don't open the drapes! I just,
and, of course, the best follow-up to that was when William Shatner guest starred on Third Rock from the Sun, and he came on the airport, and John Lithgow goes, oh, how was your trip? He goes, it was great, but I kept on seeing something outside the window. And John Lithgow says, you saw it too?
Okay,
well done.
Yeah, so we're ready for our break, Trevor? We'll be right back with a game for the video.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Was hot. Now back to our show.
I'm going to officially say that we need a new track for the middle.
Well,
the middle part.
You know, somebody who's performing this Friday can bring some recordings in.
Really? Is that what we could do?
And yeah, you could. Bring
I'll
it
see
in.
About that. I'll see about the legal implications of doing
shameless
that.
Shameless self promotion on the.
I don't
show.
Do shameless self promotion.
Well, I'll do it for you.
Because I don't have any shame.
Shameless. I'll be shameless.
What was that, Mark? That track.
That track was made by Brian Ferreira from FinalPlanetPress.com. He used to do the show with us when we first started, and that was his music he actually made of
nice.
Us, specifically for the show.
Really?
Yeah. How about that? See? Look at that.
Did he do like more than one track?
He only did one track.
We ran out of Cheat Jack's material?
Yes. That was a while ago. Where have you been?
I know.
I actually heard you on the limo, the yeah. limo talk on Monday.
Monday,
yeah. I called in right after you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says I got another call.
It was me. Yeah.
So how was that?
Well,
by
he's
the way?
Just
he's
just
crazy.
Running
that guy's out of his mind.
Roz is out of
they're all out of their minds.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, but they're all crazy.
Yeah. if you sit here, it's more nerve-wracking sitting here because you don't know what's going to happen.
I was listening to it.
Look, Trevor just cracks up when he thinks about it.
I was listening to it, and I texted Mark. I said, I can't call in. There's no place for me to – it's nothing I can do here. Yeah. These guys are out of their minds, but – I called in anyway, and so it was actually fun. Good. Yeah, I don't know if Montague. I don't know if I did well. Yeah, I was still. I couldn't clear that up.
No, no.
I'm just going to be Montague from now.
Raj, you're Montague.
Yeah, Montague. So this week on the show, we're going to be talking about, as we mentioned earlier, Elektra was one of the characters that was killed
Jesus
off.
Christ.
Killed off and brought back. Yes, Jesus Christ also. Let's talk about
killed
him.
Off and brought
was
back.
Killed off and brought back. Yes. I mean, it's all part of the whole
Lazarus.
Rebooting trend about how,
did you say Lazarus was a reboot?
Yes, okay. Lazarus Lazarus was a reboot, as okay. well as Jesus. He was a reboot.
Jesus was a reboot.
Yeah, and Super Jesus.
Yeah, the new franchise only lasted 3 days.
Yes. So, the question I want to bring to the panel is, how important is it having you kill off a character, and then how much of an impact is lost when you bring the character back?
I think it all depends on what the genre is. Because
let's go with Charlie's favorite, which is soap operas.
Oh.
You were making soap operas back then, right there?
Oh my God, yeah.
And that was, you know, they kill them off, come back for amnesia, they get a new actor.
Well,
you know, that's what they
well,
did.
Well, on God, what was Dallas? When they killed Bobby,
yeah.
And they did a whole season of Bobby was dead, and a friend of mine, Morgan Brittany, was the one who killed him. She played Pam's sister. So what happened there, I guess he couldn't get good old, what's his name, Patrick?
Duffy.
Couldn't get any work, so he decides to come back, and the whole season was a dream.
Yeah.
Which meant Morgan had more work, had another job, because she really didn't kill him, so she was back on the show, which was good for her. But
had gone to jail.
Yeah,
they had
right.
Kinda
and
gotten,
then it was mm-hmm. they. But since that was a dream, she was back in her own, character. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, it was stupid, and it just lost so much respectability for that show, as far as I was concerned. Not that I watched it, but any show does that and tells you it was a dream. The only place that worked was in the last show of the Bob Newhart series, when he was the hotel
right.
manager, and the last thing is he woke up with Suzanne Pleshette
yeah.
from the series before. That worked. Because there was no more show
that.
After that, right. So you can say. But with Dallas, so sometimes it's very very.
Oh, so the inn,
the entire
run of the inn was supposed to be a dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is one of the best, well received finales of all time.
Yeah.
But of course, that was a comedy. Usually, when
right, and it was the last show, and it ended with a big, you know, put a boom.
Yeah. It's a unique situation, though.
Right.
I mean, to have two hit shows so
right.
beloved. And then to be on the same network of the
right.
two shows.
Yep.
And so that you can actually utilize, you can actually call back to the previous show without any legal implications. And, you know.
Or without anybody saying, what's that about? Everybody
right.
knew. Because it was such a
hit.
That's
pretty awesome.
In the case of Dallas, it really bit the big one.
Well, that's for a comedy show. I mean, but for usually when you kill off a character, you use it for dramatic purposes. And that is for dramas. Comic
right.
books, they do it like every other day they kill somebody off. it just lessens, in my opinion, I think it just completely ruins the whole death scene. I mean, if they, when they killed off the Incredible Hulk way back in 92, that was a very powerful and emotional thing that happened when I was watching it. I was like, wow, you know, Lou Ferrigno, Bill Bixby, dead. If they had some way found to bring him back, it would have been the worst, because you lose that emotional impact that you get when somebody dies like that. I mean, death is supposed to be final. It's the end-all, end-all. So for a drama, doing that, I believe, is a complete mistake.
I agree for the most part. I think it's cheap and confusing and just a cop-out, kind of. Like, I don't know. I mean, I kind of understand it in comic books for the purpose of, you know, keeping it going generation after generation. But for TV shows, it's sort of like, so what, was there a bad fan response, or could you just not come up with anything else to do this season, basically?
Well, also insults people's intelligence.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of is like...
They'll swallow this.
It's like, yeah, it's like emotional constipation or something. I don't know. It's like, what?
Nice.
What? I don't know. One of my least favorite bring back to life things was on Buffy, when it was strategic too. Like, they purposefully killed her, knowing they were going to bring her back the next season, and it was like, so you pretty much just got lazy, is what happened.
Oh my god, there were so many things that were wrong with that.
So many, and they could have made it somewhat good.
That's the
comeback,
The previous episode where she died was when I stopped watching the show. Because because there was no reason she had
there was no reason for her to die. Absolutely,
because she had a replica of herself, and while the replica's in there fighting, and everybody thinks that's Buffy, she could have gone up and saved her sister. But plus, she waited for the replica to get destroyed so she could have that ta-da moment. You know, that theatrical moment of, oh, that's not her, this is her. And you know, in the interim, her sister doesn't get saved. She has to sacrifice herself. And I'm like, okay, click. And that was it. That was when I stopped watching the show.
And there was even the opportunity for Spike to save her, but for some reason they made him weak for that one moment.
That always happens, like, when it's convenient. The guy could beat up a room full of people, but he couldn't take out
one
Joel
old
Grey.
Joel Grey.
Joel Grey was Chun. So, you know, yeah, I can understand how he got beat by Chun, but whatever. Sometimes, though, it's out of demand. Because Optimus Prime came back because of the demand, and I don't know if that really improved anything, because the show only went on another, 10 episodes or something like that?
Yeah.
But the people were not amused with them offing Optimus Prime in that movie, and they made them bring him back. He was a robot, so it's a little more believable than... You know,
we can rebuild.
Yeah,
but isn't that a cop out? Once you make a decision, shouldn't you stick with the decision?
The bottom line is it's all money. It's a franchise.
Ratings.
If people start leaving because they don't like that this character got killed, you got to find a way to bring the character back, or you're not going to make any more money.
Then why kill him off in the first place?
Because you think it's going to make you money.
And like,
basically,
what did it do for the comic books when they killed Superman?
God! I remember that with the band, the armband, and everything. Yeah, before that even came out, they were talking about the four or five ways he was going to come back.
Yeah.
So you already knew he was coming back before he died.
And I'm not even a comic book guy, and I got that issue in plastic in my desk drawer.
So then, if you do it once, it's fine. But then what about the fourth or fifth or sixth time? I mean, right now in comics specifically,
who died six times? Which one of them died six times?
Let's see. The Phoenix.
Phoenix.
They killed the Phoenix. I haven't been reading.
Like every other day.
Dies a lot.
I haven't been reading comics. They killed the Phoenix. I didn't know the Phoenix was back. They killed
the
Phoenix
been
twice.
Back and been dead.
They
like
killed her twice.
At least five times.
No, she dies
every
quite often. Every opportunity, really.
You got to tell me another time that they killed her. Because I know she died. And,
way back when?
She died. Jean Grey died and came back as the Phoenix. And then I know the Phoenix died and then came back as a Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then I know they killed the Dark Phoenix.
Then the Phoenix Force came back. And then
I don't know about the Phoenix Force.
And back, and then she died again, and then it came back.
We'll talk about that.
That's what I'm saying. Show. It's such a point in comic books where, like, oh, even if they kill somebody off, you know they're going to bring him back, so why come off in the first place?
Yeah, you just don't know how.
I distinctly remember in Fantastic Four, when they killed off Reed Richards, and they were like, he's dead. We're 100% sure he's dead. Not coming back. And they were holding on to that theory.
That's the BS, as far as I'm concerned, when they say we're never going to do anything. Metallica learned a long time ago, never say never about anything. We'll never make a video. Yes, you will. Yeah, your publisher tells you to make a video, you're going to make a video. Sorry.
When the Eagles said they're never going to
We're never coming back. Hell freezes over. Yeah, well, buddy, trust me. It's not really that cold down there, and you guys are still making another album. So shut up. You know, never say never. Either you're not gonna. In fact, Sean Connery made another James Bond movie called Never Say Never Again. That's why you never say that. So you never buy that.
Which was a great Bond movie.
Yes, yes. But I mean, it's off of a gimmick. It's off of a. It's off of a phrase. So
Harrison Ford said he wasn't going to be in Indiana Jones again until they did the. Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, where he had
and then he did the little snippet,
And then everybody went, "Yeah, we want more!"
Yeah, because like, those ratings went ping, and they're like, "Oh, I guess we got to do a fourth one." And then now everybody hates the fourth one, even though it made $1 billion, and you know whatever. So
Michael Bay's gonna do the next one.
Oh my god!
Good.
They'll bring back the fun.
Good. You know what? I'm gonna have Michael Bay film my wedding. I love Michael Bay.
That's my arch enemy,
Shia.
The only place that will ever work in the history of killing people off and bringing them back is South Park. And that's
South
it.
Park.
No, it worked with Optimus Prime and South Park. Right. Cartoons. South it works in it works work in cartoons.
Right.
But don't you think that once you do it, well, except for the South Park, because they did it like out of
a bunch every of time.
It became an ongoing.
Except for one episode, he didn't die.
Which one?
The Christmas episode. He kept on getting to situations where he could die, and he's like,
and they never
killed
him.
At the end of the episode, they're like, I think something's missing from this episode. And he's like, woohoo! But beyond that one example, why is it that's the go-to thing to do in most entertainment? It's like, to kill somebody off, to make it big. In Andromeda, they went and they killed off Tyr. You know, they're going to kill off a character.
Well, he left the show.
Well, yeah, but then they kill him off, and then he comes back.
They didn't actually kill him off. He left.
No,
and then when he came back.
Thing that
no, he left. And then when he came back, they killed him because he wasn't coming back again. So he was like, the heck with you guys. I'm out of here. I'm going back on the soap opera.
You know what death got to me? Or non-death? The new Doctor Who, Rose.
Oh.
Anybody know that?
No.
Basically,
wait, the girl, the first girl.
The first girl in the new series, yeah. They basically like started off a two-part episode with her speaking about, this is how I died. And then, you know, it's a flashback to an episode you've never seen before, obviously. And by the end, she dies from, like, one universe and then is safe and sound in another, basically. So she never actually dies.
They keep acting like she dies. Right.
But she's there the entire time, and they keep switching back over
and
to
her.
And
then they brought her back, like two seasons later with the other companion.
They just can't let go of people.
So, I mean,
it's a staple. It's a hallmark staple of especially of science fiction.
Right,
of
so just to kill somebody or bring him
get
back.
Real like Spock.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a whole big deal
a
about
classic,
it.
And I think that bringing him back did hurt that they killed him off in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it hurt a lot.
No, that movie made billions of dollars. You know, it didn't hurt anybody as far as they were concerned.
It hurt
or
the
search
integrity.
For Spock. Search
yeah,
for Spock.
The integrity of the
search
property.
For Spock and the Voyage Home, which are all linked, interlinked,
yeah,
two
right.
of the biggest movies in the franchise.
Yeah.
So they brought them back. People were like, woohoo, yay, I'm going to get my grandmother back.
you're
not.
But even
your grandmother's
died,
not a Vulcan.
You knew he was coming back because they shot him onto the Genesis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you saw the coffin thing. Sitting there.
The torpedo just landed safely.
With the little flowers around it. Yeah. And yeah, no. No, he's out there. Who's doing a cookout with marshmallows? And it's like, yeah, see you in the next movie. not possible.
The one death that I would say that really got me. There was a show called NCIS, very popular CBS show. It's been on for over 100
10,000 years.
Over 100 episodes. And for people who know me, I watch TV like in the past, so I'm watching stuff that's already been aired and done and whatever way back when. But I
I
had heard that one of the characters was going to get killed. And so I did my best to try not to find out any information at all. This character was going to get killed.
Well done.
And the week before I was going to watch this episode, I found out that a certain character was going to get killed. So the whole episode, I'm like, all right, this character is going to get killed. I'm not going to be impressed by the death. And they did a classic switch, a bait and switch, where the character was jumping in front of somebody else and got shot, but she had the bulletproof vest on. So, you know, they did the slow motion. They all thought she was like, oh, that's where she's going to die. And she's like, has a bulletproof vest. She gets up. And then in the middle of a joke, she gets shot in the head.
Oh my God.
And, like, for a second, I got completely fooled that she was supposed to die, didn't die. And then she dies, like, I guess a real death would be, because, you know, they had the happy music, everybody was happy, they were going to have the joke at the end, they're going to walk off the stage, and then, bam, right in the head, like, holy crap, I couldn't believe it. So that really hit home, and then that show uses that death to make the characters more well-developed, and they've been going on for years after that, and it's still a very important part of the show.
Most, you know, dramas don't usually bring people back. It's not. It's very. I mean, other than Dallas,
because
other than a couple
real
other situations.
People.
Yes, they're all real. but I mean, yeah, they technically tend not to bring. They don't do that as many times. Soap operas, yeah. But dramas like primetime dramas, they don't usually. They don't usually get into that.
Although they
I remember the one that
for trying.
I remember the one that bothered me the most, and it's really weird that. What's that actually it was what's her name, Lucy Knight on ER, which was a what's her name from Life Goes On.
Oh, the female.
Yes, the sister.
Terminator. The
Terminator.
Never mind.
She wasn't in Terminator.
No, I was trying to make a connection between the actress who played the main character and then.
Never mind. I just totally lost where you're going.
Trying to help my memory.
Anyway, she was a character called Lucy Knight. She was in it. She was getting involved with Carter for a very short period of time, and she seemed like she was just going to be a cast regular. She was in two seasons, and she got stabbed to death one night. Well, she got stabbed, and then the next entire episode was about trying to save her. And at the last minute, they were like, "Oh, we're going to pull this maneuver off, and we're going to, you know." And they did it, and it worked. And she said, "Oh, I feel better now," and she died.
Oh my God.
I was like, "Wait a minute!" And that bothered me for weeks. I don't know why.
And,
I have no idea why.
And had they decided to bring that character back, like, say, as a ghost, which they've done, Magnum P.I.
I don't mind that so much.
When they killed off Magnum, when they killed Tom Selleck in one season, they thought it was going to be the end of the series, they killed him off, and then there was so much fan response, they brought him back for another season as a ghost.
I guess that's doable.
That. He was a ghost for, like, the first two episodes.
Oh, and then he visited because he was in a coma. Yeah. All right, yeah.
But
I remember that.
It's just...
He woke up and asked for a pint of stout.
I think it's poor writing, and whatever happened to the saying that you're not supposed to give the fans what they want, because then...
No, but it doesn't... You're supposed to get money from the fans. You're supposed to make the fans
pay you.
So it's
all about money. Just straight forward.
Yes.
All about money.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yes.
But don't you think... I mean, I don't know. People sometimes are not as smart as they think they are, so don't you think that if you didn't get the fans what they wanted, but wrote something better... then maybe you would still get the money anyway.
Yes.
Theoretically, but who's going to take the chance on that? What guy's going to say, the heck with the studios, I'm going to do what I want.
Michael Bay?
Huh?
Michael Bay! Michael
no.
Maybe Michael Bay is actually our savior in disguise.
Don't
maybe
that.
He'll take
don't
that risk.
Don't say that kidding around, because he's not good. Yeah.
I've never actually seen smoke come out of your head before. But
I know, it's being stopped mostly by the, the headphones.
But back way in the 30s, they used to literally kill people off every day and bring them back in the serials. Remember the old Flash Gordon serials?
Yeah.
Bastards.
It would end with him in the ship going, oh! And then the ship would go into a wall and the thing would explode.
But he jumped at the last minute.
Yeah, but the next episode, you don't even see the, oh! He goes like this. And jumps out, and then the ship blows up.
So
where was that? Where was the yell?
Used to love that.
Yes.
Though.
So yeah. why did you keep on coming back if you knew he was going to get out of it each week?
No, I
you
knew
wanted to see how.
Back.
You wanted to see how he's
you
get
wanted
out.
To see how he got
That's
out of this.
True.
You knew he didn't die in it, but you wanted to see. All right, he can't get out of that.
Yeah.
Let's see how I know he did because next week I'll be back.
It's like That's Gilligan's Island. They want to see how you're not going to get off the island.
Yeah.
How they're almost going to get off the island, but they just don't.
Yeah.
True.
And that's what you call a dynamic. That's an ongoing theme of we're going to kill this guy off every week, but he's not going to quite die.
Right.
But that's a completely different kind of audience. You know, you couldn't do that with NCIS. People are like, this show is terrible. This is ridiculous.
Also, it's the validity. Excellent. It's the validity of the show. If you have a show like Magnum PI that's tongue in cheek, all right, you could get away with that. Dallas, which is all soap opera and BS. All right. you know, because so many people...
Not that much, because people did hate what the, when they tried to pull that ultimate perpetration with Bobby.
Right.
But you, so you're right. But even people, they even drew the line there.
Right. And it's like, and then there was so many, because they did that, they really didn't think it out because there were so many inconsistencies from that thing. So and they were just, oh, Patrick Duffy wants to go back. We'll make a fortune. Let's get him. How are we going to get him back?
Twin brother.
And don't forget the sister show, Knots Landing, was in the same universe, and in
but
Knots
he was
Landing,
still dead.
They went to they went to a funeral. They went to everything, and from that point on, they just kind of separated themselves a little bit from the source material.
Right.
They kind of became their own show.
That's wild.
Because they didn't even know that they were going to do that. So they and they started before Dallas started. So they're already doing episodes and episodes where the brother's still dead. Dallas starts.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Holy crap, what'd you do?
You've screwed us all.
I
thank
remember.
You.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I remember Gene Hackman was being interviewed, and he said that he had the good graces to say no to this, but they wanted to do a Poseidon Adventure too. And he went to studio.
They actually did do one.
Right.
But he wasn't in it.
The studio called him to be in it. And he says, no, I died. You know, and they said, no, no. But when they're picking people up on the helicopter, you're going to come out and say, did my brother make it? Right? And he said, no. Well, so he had the good grace to, you know, just say, I'm not buying into this.
Well, what about the I Am Legend? They're going to have a sequel. They were going to make a sequel.
They were going to.
Yeah, but they're like, he dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
He can't do it.
Well,
this
was
is pretty much all there
I
was.
I Am Dead?
Yeah. I was Legend. But of course, there was an alternate ending where he didn't die.
Yeah, but still, it's that's the what's in the script.
Don't talk about that movie. That is the most disappointing.
I'm just saying
that
the
book
dog
is so
died.
So fantastic, and the fact that no one can come close to doing a movie about that book is tragic.
It's Hollywood in its finest. That's what it is.
Tragic. The closest thing was The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price. That was the closest thing that actually came to the book. In and of itself. And that didn't even really mention that the people were vampires or anything like that. But, you know, whatever.
It's.
But they're not going to do a sequel now, right?
Well,
it's been so long.
They're going to do a prequel.
Are they really?
Will Smith is busy doing other things, making a big bag of money. So when he gets around to it, then they'll...
When he gets around to it.
When he gets
he's not
around
be,
to
he's,
it.
He may be black, but he's not going to be looking young forever. All right?
It's
after a while,
like
it's going to...
Denzel Washington. There's not a bad Denzel Washington movie.
Yeah, but he's starting to look like an old man now. I mean, he should have started looking like an old man about 10 years ago, so he had an extra 10 years to play guys in their late 30s, mid-40s, but now he's getting into 60 territory, you know?
He's
so.
Starting to look like Morgan Freeman.
not that much, but so even bad. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, he's got to be like 8,000 by now, and he's still...
Morgan pretty Freeman pretty is 72 years old. He's younger than Shatner, is what I'm saying. Which is just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned.
The priceline negotiation.
Shatner's not aging, he's swelling. He just looks really big, but he's not getting older. Like, if you look at him...
Even Shatner wanted to come back, and after they made Generations, he made a whole thing about he wanted to come back.
No, he wrote a book about him coming back.
He wrote a book because he has such a swelled head to go with the rest of his body that he came and he brought
really?
Him back. So
can
it's
we
just,
go there with the swelled
yes,
body? All right.
Yes.
Well,
you're the one that said
it's not
swelling.
Untrue.
Now her heart is broken for Shatner. She had a thing from him as a kid, now it's gone.
So you had a thing for him in the 60s.
Where,
you know, back in the day when I was living in the 60s.
Exactly. Exactly. That's
speaking
what exactly
about,
I meant.
Speaking about dead people coming back.
Segways, cousin?
Yeah, they're doing a whole nother season of Jersey Shore.
What?
They die in Jersey Shore?
No, they're just
they
brain dead.
Like 5 seasons
they're
ago.
Brain dead.
Oh,
they have
that's
the accumulative...
No.
IQ of a sewer cap.
Wow.
And they're coming back.
One of them is in rehab, I just saw on AOL News today. And another one is pregnant. So unless they're planning on, like,
showing the delivery.
Really?
They might. That's ratings. That's money right there. That's money.
Vodka in a baby bottle.
We want another one. So we got less than a minute, so we're going to do this final thoughts. Hassan, final thoughts?
I hope it's not my final thoughts.
Caitlin?
I'm sorry about the Michael Bay comment.
You're forgiven.
Charlie?
I have no final thought. Thank you.
Well, my final thought is make sure you go listen to Hassan this weekend at the Clash Bar. He's going to be performing
in Clifton, New Jersey.
Clifton, New Jersey. He plays bass. You can go on to our Facebook page, and we'll give you information.
And promo us again for the 13th and 14th of April.
The 14th and 15th of April will be the EM Con. Yeah, you go down the 13th, and you're
we won't be there. No one's going to be there.
East Metal Con, and the curator, the guy behind it, is going to be on the show on the 11th on April. So that about does it for this week on It Came From Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB at 9 o'clock on Wednesdays. Miss any part of the show, you can go online to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Listen to us there. Join us on our Facebook page. All the news items are on there, and we'll see you next week.
Goodies.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.